What do sumo wrestlers, drug dealers, and school teachers have in common? They all respond to incentives in ways that challenge our basic understanding of human behavior. Freakonomics isn't about stock markets or interest rates. It's about the hidden patterns that shape our everyday lives. Economics, at its core, is simply the study of how people get what they want when resources are limited. By approaching economics as a kind of forensic investigation, Stephen Levitt uses data to solve puzzles that most people overlook. Unlike traditional economists fixated on monetary policy, Levitt applies economic principles to everyday riddles, from the surprising truth about why drug dealers often live with their mothers to the unexpected factors behind falling crime rates in the 1990s. His work transforms economics from a dry academic discipline into an exciting toolkit for understanding the world around us. What makes this approach so powerful is how it consistently challenges what everyone knows with what the data actually reveals. People respond to economic, social, and moral incentives more than we realize. When Israeli daycare centers implemented a $3 fine for late pickups, tardiness doubled. The small fine transformed moral guilt into an affordable transaction. Even after removing the fine, late pickups remained high as the moral incentive had been permanently damaged. This pattern appears everywhere. Real estate agents favor quick deals over optimal ones because for a $300,000 house, pushing for an extra $10,000 means just $150 more commission despite considerable work. Data shows agents keep their own homes on market 10 days longer and sell for 3% more than client homes. When selling her property, an agent holds out for the best offer. When selling yours, she encourages taking the first decent one. To understand expert recommendations, follow the incentives. Almost anyone will cheat given the right incentives. This uncomfortable truth appears throughout our world, from teachers boosting test scores to sumo wrestlers throwing matches. The key insight isn't that some people are inherently dishonest, but that systems can make ethical people engage in deception. When high-stakes testing became central to education policy, teachers' careers and school funding depended on student performance. Economists detected cheating through suspicious test patterns. When Chicago public schools implemented retesting in suspicious classrooms, these students scored dramatically worse, by more than a full grade level, while control classrooms maintained consistent scores. In sumo wrestling, since 8 wins ensures promotion, while 7 means demotion, the 8th victory can be worth up to $100,000 annually. Analysis shows 7-7 wrestlers facing 8-6 opponents win almost 80% of matches, far above expected rates. When these same wrestlers meet again later, the previously desperate 7-7 wrestlers win only 40% of rematches, suggesting a quid pro quo arrangement. Have you ever bent rules when stakes were high enough? You're not alone. It's a nearly universal response to powerful incentives. Information asymmetry, when one party has better information than another, underpins countless economic interactions. Throughout history, experts have hoarded information to maintain advantages over consumers. While the internet has reduced many asymmetries, significant imbalances persist. The Ku Klux Klan's 1940s power relied on information asymmetry through secret rituals. When Stetson Kennedy infiltrated the Klan and exposed these secrets via radio and Superman programs, he transformed their mystique into mockery, causing membership to plummet. Real estate agents exploit asymmetry through coded language in listings. Terms like granite and gourmet correlate with higher prices, while fantastic, spacious, and charming signal lower value properties. Similarly, online dating profiles reveal disconnects between self-presentation and behavior. Most claim above-average looks, while actions suggest otherwise. Consider the last time you hired a doctor, lawyer, or mechanic. Did you wonder if they were recommending what was best for you or most profitable for them? Information asymmetry creates this uncertainty in everyday transactions. Parents often believe naming shapes destiny, but data suggests otherwise. Analysis of 16 million California birth certificates reveals a naming gap emerged between black and white parents since the early 1970s. By 1980, typical black girls received names 20 times more common among blacks than whites. Names typically originate with high-income, educated parents before spreading down the socioeconomic ladder. A child's name doesn't determine their future. While distinctively black names face job discrimination, the name reflects parents' circumstances rather than causing poor outcomes. Children with unusual names face challenges because of the socioeconomic conditions those names signal, not the names themselves. This reveals a broader truth. What parents are matters more than what they do. Factors correlating with children's success include highly educated parents, high socioeconomic status, and mothers 30 or older at first birth. Surprisingly, intact families, better neighborhoods, museum visits, television habits, and daily reading show little correlation with success. This doesn't devalue these activities, but indicates parental characteristics established before child rearing begins outweigh specific parenting techniques. Few findings in Freakonomics stirred more controversy than the connection between legalized abortion and falling crime rates. When crime dropped dramatically across America in the early 1990s, experts credited innovative policing, gun control, and economic factors, theories that became conventional wisdom despite lacking data support. The actual explanation traced to Roe v. Wade in 1973. Research showed children born into adverse family environments were more likely to become criminals. Women most likely to have abortions after Roe, poor, unmarried, teenage mothers, were precisely those whose children faced highest risk for criminal behavior. When these potential criminals would have reached prime crime years in the 1990s, crime rates fell. The evidence? Crime began falling exactly 18 years after Roe. States with earlier abortion legalization saw earlier crime drops. States with higher abortion rates experienced greater crime reductions, and the decline was limited to offenders born after Roe. This finding demonstrates how data analysis can reveal unexpected connections between seemingly unrelated phenomena, and how conventional wisdom persists despite contradictory evidence, especially when truth conflicts with ideological commitments. Throughout Freakonomics, one consistent theme emerges. Conventional wisdom is often wrong. From crime rates to campaign spending, what everyone knows frequently contradicts what data reveals. Paul Feldman's bagel business, built on the honor system, demonstrates this perfectly. His 20-year data set across 140 companies showed payment rates averaging 87 to 90%, contradicting economists' assumptions about self-interest. Smaller offices proved more honest than larger ones. Executive floors showed lower payment rates, and national crises like 9/11 temporarily increased honesty. Conventional wisdom fails because media favors simple explanations over complex ones. Experts have incentives to promote explanations that validate their expertise, and confirmation bias leads people to notice supporting evidence while ignoring contradictions. Freakonomics advocates letting curiosity drive questions and data drive answers. This requires intellectual humility, acknowledging our intuitions often mislead us, and following evidence wherever it leads. Understanding how the world actually works, rather than how we think it should, is the first step toward meaningful change.